Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Jackie, you went off on a tangent about Japanese and Russian Inuits, and I'm like, save it. Why are you talking to me before the mics are on? What are you doing?
Right. We don't have that much. Well, except for that, it's, I think,
there's no comedy to talk about.
It's about the manga that I gave that I gave your son.
Yeah.
And so it's not really comedy related.
No, but you know.
But it is conversation. Look at us having a conversation. So we did a show together that was weird. That was the mental health one.
Winter Day. Yeah, it was a lot of it. And Christy Ohno, San Francisco Comics. Yeah, it was cool.
It was cool, but they have like a mental health professional on who needs to promote his private practice. Like it's like a sort of an ad. Because, you know, like...
Well, he didn't have, he wasn't like, you know, spewing charisma. You know what I mean? Like I'm like, yeah, he probably does need to promote his.
Well, and he's probably a good listener.
Yeah.
As a good therapist is.
Yes. I don't trust a therapist who's too show busy and too personable and too charismatic. What if you need dollar and take notes on my eating disorder and let's proceed from that angle?
What I'm just saying is that they're all over our gigs, man. And the role-playing coup people it was a bunch of fake nerds went into the Capitol and
Wait, they're all over our gigs?
Right. I mean, it was just like all of my life is bleeding into all of my other life.
Oh, right.
And I'm like, if you could keep it separate, that'd be lovely for me. And don't co-opt my role-playing gigs and by pretending and then turning into
the guys that are dressing up in your costume that you dressed up in Iceland and have a really funny chunk about is now that guy was,
oh my God. I didn't even think of that.
I thought you meant.
Oh, well, the thing is literally that was, it was a Reykjavik SCA, you know, Society of Creative Anachronism kind of outfit that this banana head from Arizona, who's an actor and a full on nut job. It was so, I read an amazing article today about the lack of reality and how they've all seen Falling Down too much, you know?
Sure. How?
And it's this weird white male entitlement that they can actually role play a coup and wander around the Capitol building and not expect to get in trouble for it. Because it's this weird straight white male thing. And then there were some women there, and there were a couple of black guys. You didn't see any black women, though, because the further you get away from straight white guy, the further you get away from straight white guy, the more you're like, no, this wasn't actually written for me.
Did not see a single black woman. I saw a couple of black men. Yes.
Yeah.
And then a lot of white.
A couple men. Of black men who could lie to themselves and say, "We're men. We should be able to do this." And
Proud
women. Yeah.
Proud Boys is more about subjugating women than race stuff. That's what it was. You know,
that's how it was started. Is that was the original vision? Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. It's good to know.
Definitely they brought it out. That was so, it's impossible to get anything done. I had a Zoom call with a book agent and, we talked about, ghostwriting and, I would love to ghostwrite for somebody who wants their memoir to be funny, right? Or whatever.
Okay.
I'm not like Barack Obama's ghostwriter or something like that. But and then I pitched my idea for a novel, and he really liked it. And
yes.
Well, yeah, Jackie. So now all I have to do. Because I go, listen, I've never written a novel. Give me a minimum word count. Let me know what I have to shoot for.
And, what was it?
Minimum is 60.
60,000 words.
Yes, but most are 70 to 90.
Okay.
And so, I mean, technically you could do 1,000 words a day and be done, have a rough draft, a first draft in 2 months.
Okay.
If the Capitol wasn't being stormed by armed Nazis, that puts a hitch in any sort of.
Now,
let's
unpack that sentence. Did they storm it or were they allowed in?
Both. I think both.
I think you're right.
I saw competing videos depending on where they were coming from.
Second question, were they armed?
Some of them were, yeah. There weren't a lot of them, but there were police officers that were part of the Trump supporters and they were armed. Some guys had zip ties that were specially.
I saw the zip tie guy.
Take hostages. So there was that faction. And again, I'm just saying what I've read, and I'll know more in 2 weeks or something, you know. But I mean, the original, like the initial, the guy with the horns, haha, this is so stupid, this classic stupid funny. It's like, no, it's actually kind of dangerous. And some of them were not just mentally ill people.
They were the distraction for the three incredibly dangerous looking, murderous looking dudes. I saw three. There was one guy that was hanging off the side of the wall. There was the zip tie guy. And there was the person who was trying to swap the American flag for a Trump flag.
Wow.
Those were the three that I was like, oh, those three actually look like not like they're at Disneyland. The rest of them look like they had just, you know, gotten in early to the haunted house. And yeah. I was like, what?
But that is an interesting lesson. If for some reason we have to start getting militaristic, our side, we should get a couple of goofballs. You know, like get Alex Hooper to lead and we'll distract him with his giant chairs or whatever. And then we'll go in with our weapons. So it is a great lesson.
Who's Alex Hooper? Just for
a comic. You know Alex Hooper. America's Got Talent.
Probably thinks I'm an asshole. That's fine. I'm so sorry. Okay.
So
you have a novel idea. Let's get back to show business that people cannot think about the horror. This is the problem. So you have a novel idea and you think you could write it. And I know you could write it. Cause the thing is all when you're like, okay, I have to write this. And then you're like, okay, it's done. I don't know if it's any good. And then I end up reading it and I'm like, well, this is the best kind of this thing that I've ever read. So I don't know how your novel writing will be, but I'm sure it'll be excellent.
I don't know. Because I'm not comfortable with the form, all of a sudden I'm like, well, it's the ocean to me. And I'm used to, sorry to use a swimming metaphor, but I'm used to a rectangular pool with lane lines.
We would be disappointed if you did not use a swimming metaphor.
This is without rules, you know, and it's a story, you know, it's much tougher. And then, you know, like I have the basic idea, but, you know, I told my agent, I go, look, I'm good at Twitter. I'm good at brevity. So, you know, I can turn in a 20,000 word novel. I guess he thought the problem for a second would be that I would write too much. I'm not giving you 150,000 words you have to pare down. I probably will have 20 and we're going to have to start to fucking figure some shit out. Puff up a little bit, you know?
That's awesome though. That's so great. I don't want to.
I don't have to work on it. I don't have to stress myself out and write it. But if I don't, it's just an idea that I have. And if I don't do it, it dies with me, you know? That's that.
And it's quite honestly, it's a task. It's an outlet. And those are both important things right now. I seek today. Literally, Andy was teaching all day and at like 3 o'clock, I went for a drive. I literally just got in the car and I drove over by Maria's house and I went to her favorite coffee shop. And then I called her and I said, I'm in your neighborhood. It's 40 minutes from my house without traffic. And so I was like, and she wasn't there. Like, she wasn't at the coffee shop. She wasn't even at her house. So I just went in, got coffee, and then came home. And then I was standing, and I played Animal Crossing for like 2 hours, 3 hours today.
Yeah.
And I played Marvel Puzzle Quest for my requisite 3 hours. I mean, it's not like I haven't played some video games. But I just,
I stood the mask, as you said.
It's a task. It is an outlet.
Yeah.
And so I'm standing in the living room and Andy's finished with work and now he's trying to sort of do other work, mm-hmm. trying to get into his, catch up with his day. And I just stand in the middle of the living room and I go, I'm bored. And he's like, read a book. I said, what do you want to do? And he said, right now I want to finish reading this article. And I was like, my apologies.
What was the article you said you read?
I posted it on Twitter along with some excerpts. I wish I could remember. It was about how that was a role playing.
Oh,
The Capitol building thing. So, and I also put it on my Facebook page, but it was fascinating because Andy read it and then he posted it and he had his analogy was entirely how they had gamified that, you know, that it was game design. And so I was looking at it from a performance standpoint and the nutbags were looking at it as sort of just a Disneyland experience. And so it was this weird, awesome.
Those people are going to be in our audience in a year. You know,
did you see that?
Be in the fucking front row, you know?
Did you see Full Frontal Sam B, her TV show had a clip of all of the pictures of the people.
Yeah.
Saying this is what the front row of every comedy club looks like right now. None of them wearing masks. So I canceled Portland Helium.
Oh, you did?
In 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not a good time to be out.
I don't have a vaccine. I'm not even in the, you know, my sister-in-law got it, but she's a doctor.
Yeah. My sister got it.
Yeah. You know, there was part of me, when I canceled it, I literally felt like when I was asked to do shows that no one else would do, they were like last minute fill in. Remember that when you were first starting out and you're like, the varsity team couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So they're like, will you come and do it? And I was like, but this will get me on the varsity team.
Right.
And so that was in my head. And I was like, don't live like that anymore. Fuck those people.
Yeah. You should already be on that team. You should be in their rotation all the time.
Right. Right. So I was like, you know, because the thing is if I take the gig and then next year when the varsity team that he likes is available, he still won't book me.
Right. Right. Right.
So screw it. You know, I was like, just try to live your life as if you're worth something, Jackie. How about that? Yeah. There's an idea.
The other thing is, like, what kind of people are showing up to an indoor club right now? These people also are probably being careless at other points in their life.
Yeah.
If you're reading things, you know, it's just not it's not a good place to be right now.
Right. My next gig that I hopefully don't have to cancel is in 5 or 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Where?
I think it goes Kansas City, Fort Collins. It might be Ridley's, Royal Oak, Michigan, mm-hmm. and then Minneapolis to try to do this album again.
Is that a month-long run?
It's to some extent.
And it starts when?
End of next month, February. More middle of February, really. Right. It's brutal. I don't know. And
Fauci kind of says that's going to be like a bad time because No, this other thing I was reading, this guy, his name's Eric, he's a doctor, and forget his last name. It's like hyphenated. But he, apparently the variant, it's like driving up the UK and Ireland's COVID numbers right now. And if we don't get, every country needs to start vaccinating immediately, otherwise that variant's going to sweep. And we're just not, we don't have it. I don't know what Biden can do starting January 20th, but these are this week right now is crucial and we're missing it.
Right. Well, I mean, the real work has to start on the 21st, and that's too long. There's been too long of a lag. I was listening actually to NPR as I drove around Los Angeles in an effort. And there was talk about how there's 10 vaccines in a vial. Mm-hmm. And if they don't have 10 people, some of those vaccines will go bad.
So stupid.
So they're like, you got to find 10 people to give the vaccine shots to in the moment. So, here's, in non-COVID, and the thing is it's hard to talk non-COVID, non-Civil War stuff, because we're in it, and it's, and I just fucking want to do stand-up comedy and record this goddamn album.
I know. Oh, God.
Which makes me feel like the biggest asshole, because you're like, you live indoors. You have food and clothing. Shut up.
Right.
Just sit here for another 6 months if you have to. But I worry that my agent will drop me. I worry that there won't be work when I go back. It's future tripping, and it's not real, and it's not, it doesn't help, mm-hmm. And I could, we had that mental health thing, and the question was how is your mental health? Was Wonder Dave asked me how my mental health was, and in that moment, it was actually quite good.
Yeah. You seemed on it. I was impressed.
I had just done stand-up. So I had what, 5 good minutes? You bastards.
That's all you need.
I can't answer that question. If I do stand up every hour in the 11 hours I'm awake every day, cause then there's and it's fine. I mean, I'm mostly fine, quite honestly. I mean, I spend a fair amount of my time meditating. So just so that I can exist for the rest of it. But sometimes I get frustrated like anybody. But here's good news. Everything happens on January 1st every year. I ask Patrick Brady of the Dork Forest if he's willing to do my show again for another year. And, he started doing my show when he was like 23. And he had just gotten out of college, graduated from film school, and couldn't stand how bad it sounded. The Dork Forest. Mm-hmm. And so, and I didn't pay him initially because I couldn't. And now I pay him, and I pay him all in January. And then if there's extra shows, I give him extra money. And,
you pay up to a year in advance.
Right. Because it always felt like, because especially when he was like 26,
sure.
I was like, at least he has several grand to throw at a credit card.
Right.
Right. And I was like, just, find 3 grand, Jackie. And cause I'm only, and I, it's not, and I wanted to give him a raise this year, but I couldn't afford it because of the weird, anyway, but he said, yes, he still wants to do it. I was like, oh my God, thank God. And I paid him quickly before he could change his mind. But he's like 30. He's married now. I mean, I was like, the guy's going to have, and he has a real job with a genuine future. But he still does like the Dork Forest, and he still does like doing some editing, and so I'm psyched about that.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I don't know. I had a couple sets. I just had one tonight.
Oh, good.
I did Eastville's Comedy Club's Zoom show tonight. And
Dana, in New York?
Yeah. Dana Duke was on the show, and he's on Cobra Kai. It's weird when you know a comic from being a comic and then they're like on a hit show and it's
sure.
So he brought, there's a bunch of people that came because he was on that I think had never participated in a Zoom comedy show and they were just replying a lot. their premises, they're like, it's my chance to talk to Dan.
Oh no.
So I think he had to deal with a lot of that, which he did very well. And then I think they kind of shut up when I started. I was up a second. So that's cool. Yeah. And Alex Edelman. It was fun. I mean, it's nice to do any sets, you know. Our thing last night was pretty fun. And I mean, I feel like I gotta not be on Twitter anymore, but I don't know how to do that because it's the only social media I use, and I have a lot of followers and I need that to sell things and promote and all that kind of stuff, but it's not good for me. And it's not good for me to be constantly aware. And I'm always, oh, what's trending? What is that? Why do I need to know about Cindy McCain tonight? I don't. Who fucking cares?
Is that John McCain's daughter? Who is
no,
she?
His wife.
Oh, his wife.
She was censured by the Arizona Republican Party for being like a liberal or something. For being gay. She's not, you know, here's the thing. She's not sane. She's like fine for a Republican, you know. Like,
oh, shit.
Everyone's like, oh, she voted for Joe Biden. She's like Queen Elizabeth. You know, she's fine. Not great, you know.
No, no, not at all.
I mean.
Yeah. Well, I did my voiceover thing for Bob's Burgers this week.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. Yeah.
From your house?
What?
From your house?
Yeah. Yeah. From this very setup, and they liked my, except for with headphones, and they liked my setup, and I only had three lines and I practiced them so much. And then when we recorded, and one of those lines, by the way, is, oh, something like that. It was, I did like so many different kinds of versions of three lines.
Yeah.
And then literally it was 12 minutes of work.
Wow.
So I logged in, they liked the way it sounded. And then I recorded it and then we were done. And I was like, I want to do a lot of these. And they were so nice.
Yeah.
But I have to say it was, it kind of made sense though to work that hard for that short amount of time just for those three lines. Cause I was like, do it right. And then hopefully you get more work, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't phone it in for the thing that you wanted to do.
Oh no. Yeah. 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 For sure. Right. Yeah. When I sometimes I do voiceover stuff for Conan sketches, you know, and it's very intense, you know, you give them a couple of versions of each one and whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, so it's been, it was an exciting, it was good. I was very happy to do it. And
that's
it's
so
a funny
cool.
episode. Yeah.
Yeah. That was your vision board last year.
Well, and it's on there again because it just, you know, cause I got to do a couple of things and I got to read one chapter in the stand-up comedy book,
yeah.
You know, to do a sort of audible, read a book out loud for people to listen to.
Sam Talent's book.
Sam Talent's book. And then I did essentially a scripted podcast radio show. I did a character on one of those.
Yeah.
So I've done like four things and they all came off of the vision board. So, you know, that's it's a vision board is also a business plan. And I've been trying to walk a mile a day.
Yay.
And so yesterday I walked 2 miles. Today I drove around. So
that
can amortize it, right?
That's fine. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I got, you know, I'm supposed to get a COVID test tomorrow and then go to Warner Brothers and clear out my office.
Okay.
We're all sort of, I mean, we're not going back to the studio ever again.
Wow.
It's such a, you know, again, I know there are way worse problems, but it's such a sad way to end something, you know, and the way we have to, you know, like we have to go in. It's just one of you in at a time. So it's not even, you can't even commiserate with somebody.
It's not even a going away party.
No, it's not. It's like the last time I was in the studio, when it was March, I don't know, 12th or something. I was just thinking, I had no idea that would be the last time I get a monologue joke on the show, right? You know, that the last time this would be our thing, little ritual backstage, our meeting, meeting with Conan, and Matt's there, Matt O'Brien and Jeff Ross. And, you know, there's things babbling, going back and forth and fixing jokes, and Kylie and me, and then standing back there with Conan and Andy, and, you know, the whole thing. I wish I had videotaped that last one, because we honestly had no idea that would be the last one we do.
Right.
So, I mean, I have my memories, and there's probably pictures. Sometimes they have a staff photographer always just taking pictures of things just in case. But
yeah, and there'll be new things, but it is sad. It's just like change is so hard, and we've been it, and it's not like things have stayed the same in the last year, but it feels like stasis, you know? It feels like a lot of just sort of, am I a fucking flying Amber over here? You know, just sitting in, anyway. Andy got a giant board game that he was like, we have to play it. And I was like, well, then we're going to play it. And it was enormous. It's called
Gloomhaven. Oh no, different.
No, it's bigger than Gloomhaven.
Dear God.
I know. It's called Dwellings of Elderdale.
I'm taking a water break. Go ahead.
Take a water break. And Dwelling of Elderdale. It's like, it's so fiddly. But once you get into the groove of it, it's a really fun, easy game. So
how many board games do you have?
I don't know. That'd be like asking in junior high, people would say, how many books have you read?
Oh man.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Is that a fire hazard? All those board games?
a lot of cardboard. Yeah. But there's a lot of toy value too, which means that there's a lot of plastic happening. Okay. Andy gave me for Armenian Christmas, he gave me a Switch.
Ooh.
So I am now, he gave me the Animal Crossing specific, the themed Switch. Wow. We didn't realize that we would each need a Switch, which is silly because at least four people have told me that we would each need a Switch. But we didn't really. So now I have an island and I'm playing this. Remember, did you do the Jenny Yang?
I did.
I would like to do that again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I still don't want to have it be my character. I still want Amber Preston to be my avatar.
That was fun.
I'd do that again.
I thought maybe she took a break or something. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. I don't know if she's still doing it. I'm doing tomorrow's show, which will be over, but the Sunday show. Mm-hmm. If people want to come to the Sunday show and they are not Patreons, they should definitely sign up for my email list and find out when and where it is. JackieKasher.com. Anyway, but here's the thing. So tomorrow is Roy Wood Jr. Ooh, is doing a guest.
Oh my God, cool.
And because Aaron Jackson was like, well, that was fun. I told Roy it was really fun. And he was like, I would do a set. And I was like, yeah, he's a comic. Nice. He's an adult man who's a comic.
Yes, he's a TV star.
Yeah. And so it's him
and Sullivan and Sons. And yeah.
Yeah. No, he's a big deal. And and a genuinely nice guy, which I like.
Hilarious.
Big fan of.
I love, though, that he made his father famous by just keeping the junior in his last name. To me, that's the coolest thing. You know, he honored his dad like that.
Oh, that is nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's him, and then it's going to be Fielding Edlow and Solange Castro and Maggie May are doing guesties, and Carmen Morales. I have a lot of, again, I've got six comics, and then I'm going to do 20 or 30.
Those are the comics you missed, because this was yesterday.
Right. It'll be yesterday when they hear this.
Truly, if we were to look at half of our marketing problems, it would be that we promote the shows after they happen.
Right. We're doing another. Is it February 1st is the next Comic of the Week show?
Comic of the Week show is February 1st at Flappers. I'm headlining at Flappers. in my room. January 18th, I'm doing like a full set. We're just going to pretend it's a regular, you know, Saturday.
You're going to do 45, right?
End of January,
right? What?
Yeah.
Friday.
No, the 18th, so that's Sunday.
But it's a Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
Next Sunday. It's next Sunday, Jackie.
Oh, God. All right. So it'll be seven. It'll be less than 7 days.
Wait, it's Monday. It's Monday, the 18th.
You're doing a Monday.
But it's here's the thing. And I know what they were thinking because it's Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So it's a 3-day weekend. But that's when people are going to work. I mean, every day is a 3-day weekend.
Every day is a 3-day. Yes.
So next Monday I'm headlining.
Our next episode will be like, come and see the show tonight. Come and see the show tonight.
Sure.
But this show, get tickets for the show next Monday. Get tickets for the show next Monday.
Yeah.
So there you go. Hey, let's do comic of the week. Speaking of,
and a Max Fun Break perhaps.
And a Max Fun Break.
Congratulations, you've won a ticket to attend an exclusive opportunity in a relaxing environment with two lovers.
Wow. Well, this sounds like a sort of proposition of sorts, but really it's an ad for our podcast. Wonderful. It's a show we do here on Maximum Fun where we talk about things that we like and things that we're into.
I'm Rachel McElroy, and you just heard Griffin McElroy, and we are excited for you to join us as we talk about movies and music and books.
Things like sneezing or the idea of rain.
Can you get news or information you can use?
Absolutely, you cannot, because we're here to talk to you about pumpernickel bread.
You can find new episodes on Wednesdays.
So catch the wave.
All right, so our comic of the week is Vanessa Peruda.
And P-E-R-U-D-A, right?
She spells Vanessa with all E's except the part. All right, that's not helpful. V-E-N-E-S-S-A.
Vanessa, V-E.
Yes.
And then is it at Vanessa Peruda on Twitter?
No, it's at V-Spiz, V-S-P-I-Z.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And where is she? Is she L.A. or is she New York? What is she?
I don't know. She emailed me about opening for me on the road, and I laughed for a half hour, and then I replied, what road? And will there be a road? I mean, I got very very philosophical and practical. Will I be on the road? Will anyone hire me? Whatever. But I did watch her set that she sent to me, and it was really funny, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
She's great. And you watched it too, and you laughed.
And I laughed, and I was amused. And it turns out that's the whole thing right there. You've got to make people laugh. And it turns out Vanessa Peruda did that. So why don't we all go find V Spiz?
V Spiz.
Live it up, V. Live it up.
I appreciate the optimism that, you know, we're all going to be back on the road. And I mean, and it's going to pay enough to. Oh my God. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like money wise, you know?
Right. Well, I was talking to my brother today about, I was like, so if I get vaccinated, mm-hmm. does that mean that I can't, can I still be a horrible carrier to these people? Like, I'm not going to get it. Right.
I think they don't know yet.
Yeah. They don't know yet. And it's still only 95%.
What I was wondering, does that mean you, if you are exposed to someone with COVID, you have a 95% chance of not getting it from them? Or
yes,
are you constantly, you could always be one of the 5% that it wouldn't work on? You know what I mean?
No.
Okay.
I think it's just 95% chance you won't get it of the strain that it's the vaccine for. But 5% chance you could get it anyway.
How about a discount if you bring your vaccine card and better seats?
Right. I allow you to buy merch. How about that? Hey, let's do the Function of Beauty ad.
Yay.
You want me to read it? I can read it this week if you like.
I think everyone demands that you read it.
I think everyone would love, hey, you guys, here's the thing is if you have not yet purchased Function of Beauty shampoos or any of that stuff, your first order, you get 20% off. So get on it. Because let's just say if you don't love your hair, what is it? Real talk. If you don't love your hair, then you need to leave your current hair care products back in 2020 and try Function of Beauty instead.
You're not wrong.
It isn't wrong. And I genuinely enjoy, I had lavender and rose as my, it was rose colored, which, because that's what you get to do. It's Function of Beauty, of course, dedicated to being the world leader in customizable beauty, offering precise formulations for your hair's specific needs, right? You go to their website and you take a quick, very thorough, but very quick quiz and tell them a little bit about your hair type, your hair goals. You can also choose the fragrance of your formulations. I always like lavender for some reason. Yeah. Anyway, because it puts me to sleep. Every ingredient Function of Beauty uses is vegan and cruelty-free, and they never use sulfates or parabens. You could also go completely silicone-free, which is nice. Anyway, never buy off the shelf. Just to be disappointed again, go to functionofbeauty.com/JackieLaurie to take your quiz and save 20% off on your first order. This applies to their full range of customizable hair, skin, and body products. So functionofbeauty.com/JackieLaurie to get 20% off your first order, and functionofbeauty.com/JackieLaurie, just so I've said it.
Damn, that was good, Jackie.
Thank you.
You gotta love your hair. You gotta love your hair.
Why wouldn't you love your hair?
Was it, there's some story that I hear quoted at work about Larry David going up on stage after a comic who ended a lot of jokes going, "You gotta love your mom." Remember that was a thing for a while? He just was,
yeah,
he started
catchphrases
shredding the guy.
Really killing me. Yeah.
But you gotta love your hair, honestly. That's all I've had to show for myself is my hair. I for some reason I gave up on makeup and skin and everything else and like shaving, but
it does look spectacular.
Well, thank you.
You logged on to that. I was like, God damn, her hair looks good today.
Yeah.
My hair lady, I've been bringing her to my house every 6 weeks. We go outside. I put the air purifier on, and I'm like double or triple masked, and she's fine with it. She's masked. I've told you this, Jackie, I get these terrible headaches when my roots start growing out, and I don't understand it. All I know is that they go away when they are tended to.
Really? Yes. I actually don't remember this dialogue, but I love that.
Really?
It seems, is that what the, I want this to be what the novel's about.
I'll throw it in there. You know, I only got 20,000 words. I need 40 more for the bare minimum.
I don't know what's happening with, I just bathed, and so my hair is still wet. So I'm just going to do this for the next 20 minutes, I guess.
Sure.
But I do like the Goldie Hawn method of aging, which is this, where you just put your hair out front. Yes. And you never age.
You lower those bangs 1/4 inch a year.
That's it. And then how can anyone tell? How can anyone say, oh, you're aging? Especially if your voice stays young, you guys.
Oh no,
Darla is my sister.
You did three lines on Bob's Burgers, and now you've got sexy voice. Oh boy!
Right. My sister's coming with her entire family.
Oh my god, that's right. Oh wow.
And so they will have been here one day when this drops. They're coming, and I was thinking of ordering that first manga series that I got for your son, because I think that her daughter would love it. I mean, granted, her daughter will read is literally she reads a lot of prose, but she does love comics and she likes artwork. So I think it might interest her to mix it up a little bit.
How old is your daughter?
She's 13. My niece.
Does she like ice cold, a swimming pool water?
They're getting, they have a pool where they're renting.
Uh-huh.
And they're getting a heater.
They're
they've split it with the Airbnb people.
That's nice.
Yeah. So the pool will have a heater. How much does that cost? I don't know.
Interesting.
Darla would probably tell you.
Of course she would.
Because it's a Cation-like thing to ask. Well done. And it's a Cation-like thing to answer.
You know what? I try to credit Elliot with any sort of improvement in my personality.
He did a new painting for a new commission, and it was, they wanted a Harry Potter castle. And I was like, okay. And so I sent him pictures of the castle that that she based it
Hogwarts.
On. And then I sent her the picture of like Hogwarts and the castle that Universal that made, right?
Yeah.
So I sent him this in an envelope, and before it got to him, he said, "Hey, it's done." And I was like, "What did you do about the castle?" And he said, I just painted the castle. And then I put like a Pegasus on it and a unicorn and a blue heron. And I was like, okay. But quite honestly, when I tell people when they've made a commission with Elliot Cation to do a painting, which is entirely, I mean, I like his paintings, don't get me wrong, but it's entirely to keep his 83-year-old ass in his fucking apartment.
Yeah. How's he doing? Is he staying in?
He's staying in. He's good. He's due to get the vaccine pretty quickly here because he is 83. And Wisconsin only has 6 million people in it, remember? So they've already done all the hospitals and I think all the senior centers. Not all of it, but they're ahead of the curve because there's less people, right?
Yeah. And there's less people because there's COVID. So
there's also less people because there's COVID. And have we broken 500,000 yet? Does anyone know?
No, not yet.
Okay. I think it's a milestone that we'll hear about. Anyway.
The numbers are just so big. It's meaningless, you know, in a way.
Because I was remembered with the influenza of 1918-20, 100 million people in the country, 700,000 people died.
Wow.
So there's now 300 million people in the country. So one would imagine three times that, we're talking 2 million people. So
three times. Oh yeah.
700,000. Yeah.
I almost said that's like 210,000, but, I'm losing so many cognitive, abilities. It's unbelievable.
It isn't good. Did your son like the new Camu thing? Did he mention, he said that he had watched the anime.
I haven't
read the first one yet. Okay.
Approaching a 14-year-old boy is a very tactical. I mean, I have to.
Yeah,
I have to
battles.
Go about pick things. Yes. So I haven't. I have not asked him about it.
Oh, fair enough.
But I will.
Sure.
About it. I don't understand him.
No, it'll be a decade. You're fine.
Yeah. I mean, there's some things I understand. There's some things I don't. And, you know, I guess that's the way
it is. It is the way.
You know what though? Here was a parenting win is, I got a gentle leader for my dog Charmy.
Okay.
Walking her is not a pleasure because she's very strong. Mm-hmm. She gets very excited by squirrels and she's, you know, I'm like, she's going to break my arm one day because she gets manic, right?
Yeah.
And then if I try to rein her in, then she starts biting on the leash. And sometimes she bites my hand when she's doing that. You know,
right.
So she gets in a crazy loop.
Right. Yeah.
So the gentle leader, it puts like a little harness around the dog's mouth. So they can't open it. And then it's almost like it stops them from going insane. She still got excited, but
is
also,
that what that is?
Yeah. And
because I always thought it was a shitty muzzle. It's a gentle leader.
Yeah. And it pulls on their nose. So, and okay. She gave me, I've never had this many dirty looks in a 30 minute time span. She does not like it, but
It was way easier. She, even when she chased a squirrel, because I'm like attached to her nose now, she couldn't, you know, drag me. And yeah. It was almost pleasurable, you know, mm-hmm. aside from the fact that she kept trying to take it off.
Right.
Hopefully, I don't know. Well, hopefully
you should follow my niece. My niece Emma has 4 pit bull mastiff mix.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And but she lives in the middle of Montana.
Yeah.
And she has them pulling her on skis and they love it.
Sure.
It's one of the things.
Yeah.
She lives outside of Yellowstone. It is gorgeous. It is so beautiful.
Don't you want to go there and move in with her?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
I don't. I like her. Her dogs look adorable and awesome. I think we'll probably get a dog this week.
Do you know what kind, age, and all that stuff yet?
Nope. I think we're just going to go look at dogs at the pound. So I think just a medium-sized, nothing too big, I don't think, just because the house isn't that big. So
you do have a great yard.
We have a good yard.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, the dog will be able to run around in the backyard, mm-hmm. and that'll be fun. So, yeah, I'm a little nervous about it, obviously, but excited.
It's a lot. I mean, you know, it's a lot. It's a
commitment.
You have to figure out how to take care of when you leave and when, you know, cause Andy probably can't do everything all the time when you're on the road. And when you guys go to get, it's, you know,
it's, it'll be a thing. Yeah. It'll be a thing.
At least a decade of that probably.
Sure.
But, you know, they're great.
Right. And we haven't had a pet since Tiberius died. So it'll be nice. And anyway, so yeah, let's take a second Max Fun Break.
Well, hello, I'm Renee Colvert.
Hi, I'm Alexis Preston, and we are the hosts of Can I Pet Your Dog?
And we got breaking news, we got an expose, and all the beans have been spilled via an Apple Podcast review that said, this show isn't well-researched. Well, yeah, no duh. Of course it's not. Not since the day we started has it been well-researched. Guessing and anthropomorphizing dogs is what we do.
The Can I Pet Your Dog promise is that we will never do more than 10 seconds of research before telling you excitedly about any dog we see.
I'm going to come at you with top 10 enthusiasm, minimal facts.
We're here for a good time, not an educated time.
So if you love dogs and you don't love research, well, you know what? Come on in to Can I Pet Your Dog podcast every Tuesday on Maximum Fun Network.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what Alex Edelman did on a show tonight?
What?
He kind of put a punchline in the chat.
Oh, did he?
It was fun. Yeah. I'm like, that's a good way to use it. Yeah.
During his set?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. It was kind of like, because it was about his neighbors, and I think he was afraid they would hear it. But it was, I'm like, that's a clever way to use the chat and just play around with it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's I mean, you got to make some of these shows have to be somehow more interesting than not, you know? I mean, it's like trying to make those one-nighters fun, right?
Yeah.
And when you can't do shots from the stage.
That must have been devastating for you, Jackie. But for how did you get through your one-nighter phase able to do shots? Like, when did you get sober? Did you... You know, hopefully it coincided. Like, you got to do the one-nighters while you were doing shots on stage.
I didn't do a lot of one-nighter shows that where there were shots, just because I always was, I mean, as much as I love to drink and mm-hmm. I was good at it for as long as it lasted, I didn't want to be drunk during my set.
Yeah, no, I don't know how people do that.
I was more interested in the stand up. As soon as I got off stage, there was a place to go and it was a drunk place. But on stage, I already had the thing that was making me drunk.
Yeah.
With power. Stand up comedy. And but it was but I remember one night in, I think it was Mankato, Minnesota, there was a place where one of those places where the bartender wants to send you a shot of something that would make you throw up. And, do you ever do those?
No, I mean,
I don't know, maybe because I was a woman, I didn't get, like, I worked on a lot of shows where the guys would get stuff sent up to them, but that hardly ever happened with me. And then I couldn't drink, like, I didn't even, I wouldn't be able to take more than a sip of a shot without going like, this is my face. And then it's not enjoyable to watch me do hard liquor. So,
right.
I didn't want the people who would like to enjoy that. I didn't want them to like me. So I didn't mind saying, I can't do it. Let me give it to somebody else in the front row or something.
That's awesome. Which will stop people sending you shots immediately. People who send you shots are like, well, then I might as well buy it for myself.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I remember there was some shot that had like a lot of Tabasco sauce in it or some bullshit. And you're like, this is just ruining the shot. Just put more liquor on top of liquor. Yeah. My favorite shot for a long time was the Dead Nazi, which is the only good Nazi, but it was essentially just Rumpelmintz and, Jägermeister.
Okay.
It was essentially layered because they're thick enough liqueurs.
Yeah.
That they were disgusting. And you could do that.
That reminded me, I hope we can talk about this, about the guy, the Bean Dad guy.
Because
it was such a Twitter thing that happened to him. It was on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, like, so he did this story about denying his child beans because he wanted to make her learn to use a can opener, and everyone got mad about it. I read like two tweets and I'm like, I was already late to it. And then all the jokes being made, I'm like, I'm going to skip it. I missed the boat on this one. Right. Fine. Right. That happens. And then, apparently he, did a lot of that kind of humor where he was mocking white supremacy by going, I guess I'm going to blame it on the Jews. Right. And that he would put
that hilarious, ironic racism.
Yes, right. But so someone puts his name and this could happen on Twitter. They put your name, your username, and say the word Jews. Right. And all the tweets that you wrote that have that word in it pop up.
Oh, right. It's a search.
The search thing. But also the word that you select is in bold. So somebody collected all the tweets where he was like, let's blame it on the Jews or whatever, you know, that kind of a thing, and took screenshots of like, I don't know, 15 of them. And the word Jew was in bold on each one. So it looked like extra horrific. I was like, oh, like my
he
God,
had bolded
dude.
Them.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he had bolded them. Yeah.
But he did not. Yeah.
It's like, oh, the worst. I mean, you know,
right. Sometimes kind of like comedy is just mediocre.
Yes. Yes. And it was, that was interesting. And then Ken Jennings defended him because they're friends, and then everyone's like, you shouldn't host Jeopardy.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yes.
Okay.
But it was like you know how Twitter gets in a frenzy, and then the next day, you know, the Capitol is invaded, right? And so then everyone kind of totally forgot about it. It's so weird when you see all that happen. And you know,
Who's psyched? Like, Bean Dad. Bean Dad is psyched.
I guess. I don't know. But I went into one of the, he's an anti-Semite. And I said, you know, one of those threads, you know, where people are going off. And I'm like,
yeah,
these look like jokes that aren't very good. And there's a lot of them in a row. And I don't think, you know, this is an ant, but I don't know. But the other thing is, then I'm like, I'm not Jewish. So how do I know what it feels like to have that pop up on your feed? And you see the word Jew bolded 15 times. Meanwhile, you know,
probably doesn't feel good. Proud
Boys are meeting and all that shit's happening, you know?
Yeah.
So and then I'm like, why am I getting in this? I don't need to, but sometimes when you see people deliberately misread a joke, it's like, oh, what everyone forgets is Twitter is for everybody, even though you are tweeting to your friends who get you. And so if God forbid, you're going to have a situation where you're going to have a lot of eyes on jokes that are, you know, that need your personality, that need your tone of voice, that need people knowing you to support the joke.
I was hanging out with some friends, non-comics, and and one of my friends is a person of color. She is a black woman, and she was sort of talking about how, you know, her experience today.
Yeah.
About her life, and how she's kind of bummed and she's a little scared. She's a little of this, she's a little of that. And somebody put in the chat, one of our mutual acquaintances, put in the chat, if it's any consolation, I've always wanted to be black.
Oh. Oh
my God. And you're like, no, not ever. Don't ever. That is Whitey Magoo, not supportive and not funny.
It's not a consolation.
You just say to somebody who's upset, I'm sorry you're upset. You're right.
You're right.
You're right to be upset.
Yeah.
Is there anything I could do? I mean, that anything else except those two sentences would have been the way to go.
Right, right, right.
And I was like, oh, what are you doing? What are you doing?
The other thing that was kind of like that this week was after Ossoff and Warnock won Georgia, all the white liberals going, I want to fuck Stacey Abrams until she, you know, like, just like, they're so in love with her. Like, oh man, what can I do for you? Please take my cock, do what you want with it. And it's like, everyone, please calm down. It,
for some reason, gentlemen think that that's like their most valuable asset. Please take my cock. You're like, hey, how about, I don't know. You just say something nice. I don't know.
It's just like weird, and we white people are weird, and even when we're trying to
change, and dumb,
and yeah, we're dumb, just, and
right. But I am reminded of an amazing story. I believe it was Alicia Cooper, and I get it wrong every time. Mm-hmm. It was Alicia Cooper. It was a great stand-up comic of the week. Get into it. Yep. But she had this story about sitting next to, was it Maya Angelou? It was somebody huge. Morrison. Tony Robinson. Anyway.
She is huge. Morrison. She's like 6'8". So, yeah.
But like, it was like one of the great authors, right? One of the amazing, beautiful prose writing people of the world. And she's sitting next to her in first class. And Alicia Cooper says she was just blown away, but it was a red eye. So they had a short exchange where she was like, well, this is so great meeting you. And the woman's like, yeah, thanks. I'm glad. It's very nice to meet you. And they have a small chat. And then Alicia Cooper tells a story about how she hunkers down, gets ready to nap it out, right? She's got to sleep. It's an overnight.
Yeah.
And whoever this author was said, are you going to sleep through your blessing?
Wait, what?
Yeah, it was like, you're not going to talk to me for the next 4.5 hours.
Right.
Alicia Cooper tells a story, and she's like, no, I you could be Jesus. I got to sleep. I got to work tomorrow night. And and I'm not doing any justice on this thing. I'm getting the names wrong. I'm getting all of it except for that you should find Alicia Cooper and give her, find her albums and give her your money.
Why would you want to talk to a stranger for hours?
No, nobody does. Nobody. I don't know who does that. I don't know who wants that. Unless you do. Maybe you do. Maybe you do. I never have. I'm good. I like to talk to strangers. Literally, one besides stand up comedy. Here's how long I want to talk to a stranger. 9.5 minutes. How about you? What do you got? How much time you got with a stranger?
However long it takes for first class to load out of the plane, like that's when I'll start talking to my seatmates. Yeah,
you're right. You touch down.
Yeah,
you got 3 to 8 minutes of chatter, chatter. Oh, you in town? You having a good time? Hi. You seem well. Be safe. Have a good time. You know,
Jackie. No, you don't. You gotta wait till first class gets out, because then you know that we've got a gate and the people are getting off the plane. If you start a chat and then the captain says we don't have the gate, we're gonna be here for another hour, you're fucked.
What if you're in first class?
Never been. What's that like?
I'm sorry. Didn't you take like a private jet to Yemen?
it was business class, but yeah, I know. It wasn't Yemen, which is currently war torn. It was United Arab Emirates.
Fair enough. Remember when we traveled? Here, Kyle.
We are at 58.
Pretty good. Hey, you guys, buy a ticket for Lori's headlining set a week from tonight.
Please. Yes. Don't make me memorize old bits in vain. Oh, you know what? I've been listening to other podcasts, and all these people, they spend 20 minutes telling their listeners to rate them on iTunes. We never bring it up, but apparently it puts you, you know, the more ratings you get, it puts you in the algorithm and other people can find you. I don't know if anyone's finding us that isn't already a comic, but
or a huge comedy fan
or if we're appealing to people that either aren't our age. I think that we have like people that are our age and like our references. And then there's stand-ups who either want to become us or want to not become us. But either way.
You guys watch Barney Miller.
Wojciechowicz was pretty hot, actually.
Was it Wojciechowicz? I don't think. No, I like Steve Landisberg.
Dietrich. I didn't like him. Woj was sort of the beefy.
I think it's been established your taste in men, but I mean, the thing is, Dietrich wasn't a winner either.
Us losing reviews and ratings right now.
Wait, what was Ron Glass's character's name? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Poked. I didn't like that.
It was Harris. It was Harris.
Right. Well, we got four men for you ladies to Google.
Perfect.
Enjoy yourselves.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.